This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Monday, an enormous Monday, a Monday that is so gigantic. There is so much to get to on my life. I just told Chris and Corey before the show started, I doubt very much I will get to everything. It may be a two-dayer. So here's what it is. Let's just go over one. Yes, Medal of Honor Monday. It's coming up an hour from now. The Joe Biden pardon stuff. Joe pardons Hunter. You already know all that. I have a lot to say about that. I'm actually going to tell you a bunch of things about it. One is that it's a good thing in a way. It's a good thing. Just stay with me. I will explain myself. Remember when I told you the donors weren't going to let Dome run again? Yeah, we'll get to that in a little while. Donald Trump is threatening Hamas if the hostages are not released. We have a volleyball team standing up against dudes trying to beat them up. We're going to discuss NGOs, how the system works, people being debanked. Like I said, I don't know if I'm going to get to all this. The Bidens chopping down the last remaining Christmas tree. That and the communists hate the country. All that and so much more. And I won't even be able to get to all that. I'm sure I won't. This may be part A or part one. I don't know how we want to say that. Either way, it's going to be a huge show tonight on the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, let's begin with the big news of the day. I'm not going to bore you with all the things you've already heard all day long. You heard last night or this morning when you picked your phone up or turned on the news, Joe Biden pardoned Hunter Biden. Of course, everyone remembers how many times he came out and said,
I just want to make sure that that is not going to change over the next 6 months. The president's saying he would not.
It's still a no. It's still a no.
It will always be a no.
It's still a no. It will be a no. It is a no. And I don't have anything else to add. Will he pardon his son? No.
Okay. That was Corinne Diversity Hire. Joe said it too.
But let me ask you, will you accept the jury's outcome, their verdict, no matter what it is?
Yes.
And have you ruled out a pardon for your son?
Yes.
Okay. Media, of course, the apparatchiks in our media, the system protectors, Of course, they went along with
it. Presidential promise to put the law before a family.
I said I abide by the jury decision. I will do that, and I will not pardon him.
Letting the world know that he will not wipe away the decision of 12 of his son's peers was asked directly, and he has said he wouldn't pardon.
Yeah, okay, you got it all. You've heard all that. He lied. He said he wouldn't pardon him. He pardoned him. Why is it a good thing at all? And I have a bunch to say about this, but let's start here. Why it's a good thing in the end. You know, let's pause on that real quick and let's rewind. We've talked before about pre-World War II Japan several times. The Japanese had this kind of a different kind of a feudal system forever with the samurai and the clans and all this other stuff. And eventually they settled on this government, but they had this emperor. And the emperor was thought of as a god, a living god, really. You weren't even allowed to look at him, talk to him. It was that kind of a thing. The emperor was so insanely sacred over there. This is pre-World War II. They had this emperor. And it was very real for people, normal people who would never meet him. They'd never get to speak to him, would die for him, essentially pretty much worship him. Now, let's just pause on everything else. No judgment here, but that's a terrible thing. You don't ever worship a man. Men are not gods. We are not deities. We're all flesh and blood. All of us, you, me, everybody. But that's the kind of system they had. And that kind of system can really mess you up. And it messed them up severely. Because when you have this person who's not even a king, I didn't even want to say monarch, he's this living god in your system, well, he can do whatever he wants. And there will never be any opposition to him at all. Now, fast forward to the end of World War II. We're not doing history here. Fast forward to the end of World War II. Did you know, we've had this talk before, one of the main reasons the Japanese surrendered wasn't just two atom bombs. Granted, that helped nudge things along, but it wasn't just two atom bombs. The people of Japan, they were getting ready to revolt. They were going to have a revolution in Japan. Because the people, because of our blockade and the war and everything else, the people were starving to death. The civilian population was starving to death. And you have these millions of Japanese people. And eventually they're looking around at each other and saying, wait a minute. What kind of a god would let us starve? Hold on a minute. No. We are going to rebel against this government. No. We'll toss him out. Now, how in the world do you go from thinking he's a god to we're going to march into the palace and string him up? How do you get from A to B? You get there because eventually the scales fall from your eyes. You find out he's not a god. He's a man, a fallible man like all the rest of us. You wake up to the fact that he's not a god. And then once you get from that point, then you can finally figure it out. This non-god has got us into a war of annihilation, and we're all going to die if we don't do something. Now, isn't that a healthy place for them to have gotten to? We need to have a rebellion, a revolution to cast this guy out. Isn't that a good thing that the population woke up to the fact that he's not a god? And believe me, I still know a bunch of people still thought he was, but overall, you understand what I'm saying. His loss of legitimacy was good for the people of Japan because we were going to keep bombing that country into powder and then we were going to invade. But the people of Japan are as responsible as anything for stopping that because the people woke up. I sit here right now behind this microphone and I say to you things you already know about Joe Biden. Joe Biden is evil. He's a liar. He's corrupt. He has corrupted his entire family. He's an awful human being in every possible way. I say all these things to you. You're nodding your head. You already know. I say to you, the United States government itself has become an evil, corrupt, criminal organization that works only on behalf of the system. It oppresses normal people. It protects the elite. I say all that. You're just sitting there nodding. You get all this. You got it. You already understand. But your normie neighbor doesn't. Now, they're waking up slowly, but we need them all to wake up. In fact, many are. We saw that in the election. Many are. But we need more and more and more. We need the average, everyday American to wake up and not revere the scumbags in the White House. We need them to hate those people in the White House. We need them to think Joe Biden, when he comes to town for a parade in your small town, that you have better things to do, like go stare at the sky, spit on the sidewalk. You don't even show up to see him because these people are so corrupt and evil, being around them doesn't even appeal to you. That's exactly where we need the normal American to go. And when the normal American gets on his phone last night or this morning or turns on the news and he finds out that the president of the United States of America not only lied, Joe Biden's a career liar, we'll get into that, not only lied, not only pardoned his son, gave his son a retroactive blanket pardon for any federal crime he may have committed over an 11-year period of time, the normal Americans, even your normie neighbor who doesn't know anything about politics, looks at this and says, oh gosh, that's really corrupt. That's really wrong. That's really evil. These people are evil. And that's a good thing. This is the kind of thing that wakes normal people up. Normal people look at this and they're disgusted. And they should have been disgusted back when you started getting disgusted. Yes, they're behind, but at least they're catching up now. And it's not everything, but I'll take it. All right? I have so much more to say about this. We will get to that in a moment. Now, the reason you and I were ahead of everybody is because we've all been taking our Chalk supplements, our natural herbal supplements from Chalk. Because, look, our minds work better than other people's. It's not even an exaggeration. When you get your levels right, when you, gentlemen, speaking to you, when you get your T levels right, your mind works better. It's not about having fun with your wife. It's about everything, your body, your logical thinking, your energy. The reason you feel better and others don't is because you've been taking a male vitality stack from Chalk. Ladies, you've been taking a female vitality stack. And if you haven't, it's the Christmas season. Give yourself the gift of feeling better all day, every day. Go. Christmas special time to the end of the year. CHOQ.com. Use the code Jesse. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Man, it's a huge Monday. We stopped to get to the Cash Patel stuff. There's a ton to get to, but there's a lot of stuff around this Joe Biden stuff that is good, revealing, bad. Okay, first, just one more point on this. I had a friend once, this was back in high school, and his aunt lived right across the street from them. And they were very close. His aunt and his immediate family, his mom, dad lived with them, him and his brother and his aunt lived right across the street from them. And she developed a terrible, terrible alcohol problem. Now, there are degrees to alcohol problems. And if you have one, I'm not dismissing yours at all. You know, keep fighting, keep struggling, you'll get over it. But hers was vodka with breakfast before work, that kind of alcohol problem. She used to bring, you remember, have you ever seen, or at least you've ever had, one of those big, tall thermoses that construction guys have for coffee? They bring it to work. We always have one when I was working construction. She had an office job. She was an office manager. She would bring one of those to work, half coffee, half vodka, because she thought the coffee would cover up the smell of it. And all day long at her desk, she would drink vodka. And she would be, he told me, all this came out after. You should know, it has a happy ending. She ended up okay. But all this came out after. She didn't remember driving home half the time after work because she was so hammered. that kind of alcohol problem, right? But most of their family, the rest of their family, denied it. I don't see it. She was just one of those people who could handle it really well. She could function. Obviously, if you're still working, she could function. She could handle it really well. And it was actually, it was Thanksgiving. As a matter of fact, they were having a big Thanksgiving celebration. Everyone was flying in from out of town. Big family Thanksgiving. They did them up right. It was something. I forget what he told me. It was years ago. I want to say 80 people, but it's a big one. It's a big family celebration for Thanksgiving. Everyone had been denied. She doesn't have a problem. She doesn't have a problem. She doesn't have a problem. Everyone shows up. And within an hour, I think it was very early in the day, they walked out back. And she, who had been watching the kids out back, she was passed out on the grass. Passed out on the grass. They try to wake her up. She starts throwing up. Now, obviously, that's a bad situation. It's terrible, terrible situation. It couldn't be any worse. However, there was no more denying the problem after that. There was no more. Her parents were terrible about that. They denied she had a problem, denied she had the problem. There's no more denying it. You pass out back at Thanksgiving within an hour watching the kiddos. Everyone knows. Now, what happened? The family woke up, rallied, dragged her butt into rehab. I haven't talked to my buddy in a few years. This was years ago, but last time I had talked to him, she was still clean and thriving to this day. Until people realize there's a problem, you can't fix a problem most of the time. Joe Biden, with the most brazen, nakedly corrupt pardon I've ever seen in my life, just reminded the American people that the United States government is an evil organization right now that only thinks laws apply to the littles. The laws never apply to them. They get away with everything. Joe Biden backdated this pardon. And get this. You remember Hunter Biden took that job, that corrupt job with Burisma, the Ukrainian energy company? You know the date on this pardon? It starts a couple months before Hunter Biden started with Burisma. Joe Biden, I've seen a lot of this today, that Joe Biden pardoned him because he loves his son. Joe Biden and Jill Biden denied the existence of their seventh grandchild. They had to be shamed into acknowledging her existence, the one Hunter had with a stripper, because she was politically inconvenient for them. Joe Biden didn't pardon Hunter Biden because he loves his son. That's what you would do. And to be honest, that's what I would do to a point. It's your son. That's understandable. I get that. Joe Biden pardoned Hunter Biden, gave him a blank pardon, a blanket pardon, I mean, for an 11-year period because Joe Biden committed crimes with Hunter Biden during that time. And this is the only way you can keep your dirtball son from spilling the beans on you. If dad has the ability to pardon you, you've been committing crimes on behalf of your father for your entire life, and dad has the ability to pardon you and get you out of federal prison, and dad chooses not to do that, and you find yourself locked in a cage, you're going to drop a dime on dad. Joe Biden didn't have any choice, and he didn't do it as a loving father. Joe Biden had to pardon his son because his son was part of Joe Biden's criminal empire. Now, let's get to that part of it, shall we? Because everyone's dumping on Hunter Biden today, and I'm not going to stop you from doing that. Hunter Biden is a dirtball and a scumbag in every possible way. I'm not saying Hunter Biden is good, and I'm definitely not saying Hunter Biden deserves a pardon. Hunter Biden deserves to go to prison, especially after the things they've done to pro-lifers and January Sixers and others. Hunter Biden deserves to go to prison. However, Hunter Biden is not the devil in this story. Let's talk about the devil in this story next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, Medal of Honor Monday, coming up about a half hour from now. If you want to email the show, you certainly can. love, hate, death threats, whatever you'd like, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You can leave us a voicemail, 877-377-4373. Now, let's talk about the real devil in the Joe Biden, Hunter Biden story. I'm going to tell you something about myself first. Do you have any idea how many times I've gone hunting in my life? Big game hunting, deer, elk, antelope. It's a lot. It's more times than I could ever count. It's been a lot. Do you know? You know I don't like hunting. Do you know that? Don't get me wrong. There are parts of hunting I very much enjoy. I enjoy being outdoors. I enjoy the thrill of the chase. I enjoy all the manly parts of it, but I don't like hunting. So why have I done so much hunting? Well, my father loved hunting. He was the outdoorsman. That's just how he was. He wanted to be outside. He wanted to be working, or he wanted to be outside hunting. They were doing something outside, sweating, grit, hard, just one of those guys. And as a child, I've told you this before, my dad would go rabbit hunting in Ohio. We had these beagles. Beagles are great dogs, but we had these beagles, use them to hunt rabbits. When I was a child, 6, 7 years old, I would take my toy guns, because I had a bunch of those. I always loved guns. And I would go rabbit hunting with my dad. I would just kind of walk along with my toy gun and fake shoot at the rabbits he was shooting at. When I got a little older, finally got a gun. Montana hunting began. Moved to Montana when we were 10. I'm going somewhere with this. Stay with me. Do you know when deer season is in Montana? Now, pretty much. We'll call it November. You know when you hunt deer in Montana? In the morning before the sun comes up. You have to be out there. In fact, you really need to be situated where you want to be before the sun comes up. Otherwise, it's anyway. Do you know what the temperature is in November at 4 a.m. in Montana? 20 below is not uncommon at all. 20 below. You know what happens when you breathe through your nose when it's 20 below? You can feel it like needles in your lungs, and every bit of snot in your nose freezes up. And my father, at 3:30 in the morning, on a Saturday, I'm off school, Saturday, in my room, get up, boy, we're going hunting. And I got up and I went hunting. And every single time my father would ask me, well, not every time, that's not true, but my father would ask me, you like this, right? And every single time, without fail, I would say, Dad, I love it. Dad, this is the best. And I hated every minute of it. Not every minute, that's not fair. I enjoyed the stalking and the shooting and stuff, but for the most part, I thought it sucked. I didn't understand why anyone got into this at all. So why did I do so much hunting? Because that's what my father wanted me to do. That's why. Why did I work construction in my life? I like construction, don't get me wrong. Why did I work construction? Because that's what my father wanted me to do. A father's influence in your life is not small. It's enormous. Yes, I understand Hunter Biden is a scumbag and a dirtball who belongs in federal prison. And I understand at some point you have to own your own choices. But let me tell you a little story you may not know about Hunter Biden. Joe Biden, well, the Biden family, Hunter Biden, terrible car accident. This is back in the 70s. Joe Biden had just won an election for the Senate, and he was about to be sworn into the United States Senate. His young son, Hunter, had severe injuries, a fractured skull, brain damage from this car accident. This was not some little fender bender, a major, major accident. It was a huge deal across the nation. Joe Biden, brand new senator. They said to Joe Biden, because he had to get sworn into the Senate, they said, hey, Joe, let's postpone the swearing in. Your poor family, they're in hospital beds right now, fighting, struggling. Joe, let's postpone the swearing in. Joe said, no. They said, hey, Joe, all right, if you're not going to postpone it, I get it. Let's do a quick swearing in the hallway of the hospital. That way, you don't have to abandon your family. I know you want to be there for your kids. They're injured. They're broken. We want to be there. Joe Biden with his baby boy. There's a picture of this. You can go look it up. with his baby boy in a hospital bed, broken. What would you be thinking if your son was sitting there with his head broken? What would be going through your head? The agony. I tell you right now, I wouldn't be doing this show. Joe Biden looked at his baby boy with a broken head, and he said, get the cameras ready, and someone put a suit on him. Get a photo crew in here. I want to be sworn in by my shattered baby boy. Make sure he looks good in a suit. Joe, why? Because it would look good for my political career. Joe Biden, from the earliest time, I don't know when it began in Joe Biden's life. I can't speak to that. But I know enough about Joe Biden's early career and Hunter Biden's early life to know this. It's not that Joe Biden was a bad dad. Maybe you overcame a bad dad. It's not that Joe Biden was a negligent dad. Maybe you overcame that. Or a negligent mom or bad mom. I shouldn't just put this on dads. There are plenty of bad moms and things like that. Maybe you overcame that. Maybe dad was a drunk. Maybe he was abusive. Maybe he ran out on you. Maybe mom was a drunk or abusive and ran out on you. Maybe you overcame a bad parent. People can do that. People do that. And I applaud you if you did that. But the percentage of people who can overcome a parent who purposely grooms them to be a scumbag, that percentage is minuscule. Joe Biden wasn't abusive. Joe Biden wasn't negligent. From the moment Hunter Biden could walk, Joe Biden groomed him to be a corrupt piece of his political machine. And as far as we can tell, for years and years and years and years and years, Joe Biden enlisted his own scumbag son to be a bag man on his behalf for foreign entities from China to Ukraine, Russia, and everywhere in between. And it wasn't a whoopsie. It wasn't a, wow, Hunter Biden's really going sideways. Joe Biden did it to him on purpose. On purpose. I read a story one time about a mobster, mafia guy. He had done all these years in prison. Then he was reformed. He'd gotten out and he was talking about his father. So many of these mafia guys, their dad was in the mob and he didn't want their kid in the mob. So the dad would try to push him away. This guy's father took him to the meetings when he was 5 and 6 years old. Told him this is the life for you. Told him you have to do it. What chance does a child have when that's what dad tells you to do? None. Or very little. The number of people out there who can overcome that, it's just not very high. I went deer hunting with my dad because it was cold and I didn't want to, but I went. If my dad woke me up on Saturday morning at 5 a.m. and told me we're going to, deal drugs. Hey, son, I've got some cocaine. We're going to go sell cocaine today. You know what 10-year-old Jesse would have said? I'm game, Dad. And when Dad turned to me at 10 and said, are you enjoying selling cocaine? I would have said, Dad, this is the best thing in the world because that's what my dad wanted. When your father purposely grooms you to be a scumbag, you have almost no chance. It goes that's beyond abuse. It's beyond neglect. Hunter Biden is a dirtball and a criminal, and he belongs in prison, and all those things are true. And Hunter Biden's a 50-some-year-old man who now has to own the life he has. All that is true as well. But when I look at the Joe Biden, Hunter Biden saga, I'm sorry, I don't get filled with hatred for Hunter, to be honest with you. I get filled with pity. I think to myself, if that was my dad, I'd be the exact same. Because I would have laid down in traffic if my dad told me to go lay down in traffic. I would have done anything because he was my dad. My dad groomed me to deer hunt and work hard. Hunter Biden's father taught him how to lie and cheat and fill his bank account using his political office. What chance did he have? And what a piece of crap Joe Biden is. I have one more word on this, and then we're going to move off it. There's too much else to get to. We'll get to Cash Patel and everything else. Hang on.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. I missed you so much. I had an incredible Thanksgiving. Of course, at some point in time, I'm going to tell you everything I ate, and it was delicious. And what, Chris? I can't help what I'm excited about. We'll get to that, and we have to get to the Cash Patel stuff and Dome, and Trump is threatening Hamas, and there's just so much. There's so much awesome tonight. But I want to make one more point about Joe. Now, this is, we're moving off with the father stuff and the pardon stuff. This is my last point, and this is something a lot of people aren't talking about or a lot of people are missing. Joe Biden is getting a measure of revenge, and the system did not properly protect itself from Joe Biden. When they were bouncing him, they didn't. So let's pause on Joe for a second. Let's talk about me really quickly. I'm going somewhere with this too, so hang on. Do you know that if you have a media job, not independent, but if you work for a big company, if you have a commentary media job, like a television show or a radio show like I have, we'll just make it about me for radio. You know I work for Premier Networks. Do you know that if tonight Premier decides to fire me, or they're going to let me go, or maybe I decide to retire. Now pause, please do not panic. I adore Premier. They have been amazing to me, and the feeling's mutual. I'm not going anywhere. This is just a hypothetical. But let's say tonight I go home, I have some Kraft Mac with the wife, and I say, you know what, I'm done with radio. I'm going to go back to selling RVs or something. And I call Premier tonight, and I say, hey, I think I'm going to end it. I'm going to give it a few more months, but I'm going to walk away. You know that you would never hear my voice again on the radio. They would pull me off immediately. That's the same for all media jobs. If someone gets fired, or if someone announces they're not going to re-sign another contract or something like that, there's no lag period. There's no two-week notice. You are pulled off the air immediately. No ifs, ands, or buts. Why? Is it because they're mean? If Premier did that, if I called and said, hey, I'm gonna leave in 6 months, and they said, yeah, don't show up to work tomorrow, are they being jerks? No. It's the only thing you can do in this business. Why? Because if I'm going to leave, or you're going to let me go, and yet you still give me access to this platform, well, that's an extremely dangerous situation no employer can put themselves in, because I can sit here with access to this platform and trash you. I can use your platform to trash you. Oh, I hate this guy, and this guy was a jerk. So you have to. It's the only way to run your business. If they decide tonight, Jesse's offensive, I can't imagine why they'd say
why
that.
Why are you gay?
If the Jesse's too much, is too offensive, fire him. They're not going to say it, don't worry. Then there's no Tuesday show. You turn on tomorrow and there'd be someone else, and you'd be asking, where's Jesse? And I would just be gone. Like that, disappeared. You can't give access to somebody who can hurt you if you're an entity like that. The system made a tremendous mistake when they pushed Joe Biden out of the race. And I realize that mistake is only worse now in hindsight. We all know why they pushed him out. Joe Biden's polling numbers against Trump were disastrous, and they began to panic. He had that debate performance, the worst debate performance anyone's ever seen, and it was such a disaster. The collective communist mind woke up the next day. The hive mind woke up in a full-blown panic that Joe Biden was going to cost them the White House. And so the system did what evil, corrupt systems do. They pulled out the knives and they went to work on him. They had Barack Obama and George Clooney collaborating on op-eds in the New York Times. And Nancy Pelosi put down the vodka bottle and went and yelled at Joe before she went back to drinking vodka. And it was over and over and over again, and they knifed him out of the White House. But the problem is, you knifed him out, you replaced him with Dome, she lost, and now Joe Biden is still president, you see. And Joe Biden, unlike virtually everyone else in his position, has not an ounce of loyalty or love left for the Democrat Party because the Democrat Party screwed him over. You can think as a president at the end of your term, you can think that you're free all the time, right? Maybe at the end of Barack Obama's term. He finishes 8 years, he can't run again. Maybe you would think, well, he can just do whatever he wants now, but that's not true because he still wants access to all the Democrat levers of power and things like that. He's going to want paid at speeches. So Barack Obama couldn't, at the end of his term, come out and just crucify the Democrat Party. What a bunch of nutballs. I'm glad that's over. He still wanted access to all that. You just knifed Joe Biden in the ribs, ended his political career. He's probably going to be dead in about 15 minutes if his health continues to deteriorate at this pace. Joe Biden has nothing else to lose and now hates your party. You left a man in power who can hurt you and hates you now. You left him with the microphone. Do you have any idea how long Republicans are going to appropriately use the blanket pardon of Hunter Biden as evidence of corruption of the Democrat Party? This is not a 15-minute story. This will be 5-10 years from now. People will be bringing up Joe Biden giving his son an 11-year retroactive pardon as he's leaving the White House. It didn't just make Joe look bad or Hunter Biden look bad. Democrat after Democrat after Democrat is going to have to answer these questions on the campaign trail. Senator Michael Bennett, Democrat, already came out today and publicly said he doesn't like it. They all know, whoa, I can't defend this. What are you doing, Joe? It's not a move Joe Biden would ever have done, except you screwed him. You screwed him over. You knifed him in the ribs and shoved him out the back door, and he still got to be president for another 6 months. And so he's out there on the campaign trail when Dome's trying to win an election, accidentally calling all of Trump's supporters garbage. As he's getting ready to walk out the back door, he hands out the most egregious pardon in the history of presidential politics, and Democrats will have to answer for it for the next 10 years. They screwed him, but they left him there. And wow, what a devastating mistake. I think it's hilarious. It's great for me. I think it's hilarious, but man, did they screw up there. All right. Enough Joe Biden Hunter talk. I want to talk Medal of Honor Monday. And then I want to talk about Cash Patel, picked for FBI director. I also want to talk about your dog and the crappy food you give him. Dog food is all brown. Have you ever asked why? You notice how your food has different colors? But all dog food is brown. Why is that? Because it's all dead. Why do the leaves turn brown in the fall? Because they die. Brown things are dead. All dog food is dead. They kill the nutrition in it. Your dog never gets nutrition ever. Do you realize that? It's just empty calories. Rough Greens is an all-natural nutritional supplement created by naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, and it gives your dog everything they need to live longer and healthier. Vitamins and minerals and probiotics and everything. They give out free Jumpstart trial bags. Call them 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
When I told people I was making a podcast about Benghazi, 9 times out of 10, they called me a masochist, rolled their eyes, or just asked, why?
Benghazi, the truth became a web of lies.
From Prologue Projects and Pushkin Industries, this is Fiasco, Benghazi.
What difference at this point does it make?
Listen to Fiasco, Benghazi on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.